Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about distracted, the opposite of attracted. We're going to be looking at the story of Mary and Martha, about how Martha, it says, was distracted. She was turning away. She was attracted to the wrong things. So let's get started with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer first, and then we'll get into this training. If you're new to us here, this 30-day prayer challenge is the place to start. Our whole program, the Abundant Life Blueprint, started for me with Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And this verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that I could pass on? And the book of Proverbs says that wisdom is more valuable than gold and silver and precious rubies. And so I made it my goal to accumulate and to pass on lessons for every area of life, spiritual growth and mind and emotions, purpose and health and finances, family, order, time, community, every area of life. And to be honest, when I got started, I had no clue where to start, but God has been faithful. He began to teach me and to train me, and it turned into a whole series of books and courses and partners, and every piece just stacks one on top of another. And out of everything we do, the first thing I would want to get established in somebody's life is this 30-day prayer challenge process of praying about a 2-minute prayer every day. And the prayer is mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez. And then we take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still and to listen and to connect with God and allow Him to begin to navigate and allow Him to plan your day, where we put him in charge of helping to plan your day and then going about and executing the things that you know to do, taking action and executing the things that you know to do and trusting that God is with you, trusting that as you do them, he's there to equip you and to empower you. He's anointed you to do these things. Let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening to this and all of their families, their friends, those connected to them, and our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today. Let us all come away with practical things that we can implement, along with feeling encouraged and inspired and enlightened and challenged all at the same time. We ask you to expand our borders and our territory, expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all that you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all right around us, but also all over the world. And Father, keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And Lord, we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so we're going to take just a couple minutes here to do the other half of prayer. And what I've learned is this other half of prayer is important because we're going to clear some things out so that hopefully as we get into the teaching and the training part of today and the communion part of today, we've got some things cleared out. We've done some examining of ourselves so that we can better hear and better receive what God would have for us today. But let's get started. What were your wins? Over the last 24 hours, what wins did you have? What progress did you have? What testimonies did you have of how God came through for you? What were your wins? What went well? Let's get our minds focused on those things. Often we get distracted by all the things that are wrong, all the things that we have to do, all the things that are going wrong. What went well over the last 24 hours? And then, how is your levels of peace and joy and confidence in God over the last 24 hours? And the answer is either yes or no. Either I had overflowing peace and joy and confidence in God, or I did not. It's all a matter of focus. So I want you to think about this. If you're lacking peace, it means something is divided. If you're lacking peace, it means something is divided. Your thoughts and attention are possibly being divided between God and issues and problems going on in the world. Could be your thoughts are divided. You don't know which way to go. You're faced with a decision, a fork in the road, and you're divided on which way to go. And that's the case there. Simply get still and pray and listen and stop stressing about it. Stop worrying about it. And God will begin to show you. If you just rest and you trust and you ask him, he will show you. When we're divided, we lack peace. If there's divided relationships, that can also be a cause of lacking peace. That's where we have to walk in continual forgiveness. And we're going to remember, we have peace in our relationship with God. He has already got peace with us. But a lot of times we think he's mad at us and things like that. We can come to him, talk to him, receive our forgiveness, forgive ourselves, and be walking in forgiveness with other people. But if we're lacking peace, it could be we're believing something that's not true. It's causing our thoughts to be divided. We're at a decision point in the road. We got to decide which way to go. Or there's relationships that don't have peace. Those could be some possible sources. If I'm lacking joy, usually that's one thing. Get more present. Get more present. Stop dwelling on or worrying about the past. Stop worrying about the future and all the things that you got to do and all these possible scenarios that could play out. Get more present where God is. That's where the grace flows. That's where the grace flows. So, next question. What do you know to do over the next 24 hours? We're going to create a plan for the day. You know what to do. You have an unction. You have an anointing from God where you know what to do. What needs to be done? And it might be little simple things. Maybe you need to get groceries. Maybe you need to do some administrative tasks or things around the house or run some errands. What are those little things that get done? Let's just get those out of your mind, get them onto the paper. Let's get those out of your mind and onto the paper or type it up, whatever you need to do. And if you want to learn more about this process of the prayer challenge process, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com. You can find a written copy of the prayer. You can find some additional training videos that break down the prayer, give some insights into the prayer a little bit more, and this process of planning your day with God and executing the right way. And you'll also find a tracker that you can use to go through this process we're doing right now of planning out your day with God. And then what are the things that are stirring on the inside that you know to do, but maybe you haven't taken action yet on? Maybe they look big, maybe they look overwhelming, whatever it may be. Maybe you need to be more present with your family. Maybe you need to spend less time on your phone. Maybe you need to start exercising or eating better or taking some steps on a project. What are those things that you know to do, but you haven't done them yet? What step could you take today? How could you get started? Just take one small step. What could you get done today? Maybe you got some big overwhelming project. You got all these things that could be done, but what's the one thing that you know to do today that you could actually do and get it done today? Do that thing. Just do it. And then tomorrow you'll know what to do the next day. Keep doing that over time. You'll be amazed at where it leads you. And then is there anything that God's stirring? Something new, maybe to reach out to a person, maybe to start something new, maybe a step to take, maybe to forgive somebody. Is there something God's stirring on the inside that you feel him prompting you to do? Is there any of those things to get done? And then our last question, God, what is the most important thing that you're trying to teach me, you're trying to show me, that you want to make sure I get today, that I get it and I understand it? What is that most important thing that you are trying to show me and tell me today? God is always trying to reach out to us. He's always trying to help us. He's always trying to take us to a new level. What is that most important thing you're trying to show me today, God? Every day. If you go a day and you don't have anything, that means you weren't tuned in very well. That's what that means. I've learned at the end of the day, I take this tracker that we're talking about. All right, God, what is the most important thing you're trying to show me? And if I have nothing, that means I wasn't tuned in. I was too busy. I was distracted, as we're going to see here. I was distracted. I was not tuned in very well. I was focused on other things. Now, you might look at your list and you might say, there's more on here than I could get done in a day. And the temptation might be to just go and get all these things done, and we forget about spending some time with God, about slowing down and spending some time with God, because we get distracted by all these things. And it could be even things that God is telling us to do. But you have to have this balance of a gas pedal and a brake pedal in your car. You need the ability to slow down, to connect with him, to stay tuned in and connected with him, but then go and do the things that you know to do. Because we're going to see this story in Mary and Martha. You've probably heard the story of Mary and Martha. And for a while, I had the mindset of, all right, well, Mary's just sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha's over there working. We see two extremes. One's just sitting there. One's working away. There are things that needed to get done. How are they going to get done? What I've learned is this. If you have a lot to get done, the temptation is to go get all the things done and then come back and spend some time with Jesus. The most important thing you can do, Jesus says the best thing you can do is go spend time with him first, because he's going to give you a better plan. He's going to show you how to focus on the things that matters, and you're going to take him with you into the things that you're doing, and you're going to execute them in a different way. You're going to execute them with peace and joy and confidence and his power, his grace, equipping and empowering you to do it. And you're going to do it better. You're going to do it faster, and you'll be amazed at what you can get done. We're going to look at this word distracted a little bit. Distracted is the opposite of being attracted to something. It's to be repelled. It's to be turned away. I think what it is, when we're distracted, we are disordered. Our priorities are out of order a lot of times when we're distracted. We're focused on the wrong things. Think about if you're driving down the road and you're looking at your phone, you're distracted. Your priorities are out of order. You're looking at something that you're not supposed to be looking at because there's something more important to be looking at. So let's take a look at this story of Mary and Martha. So this is coming from Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. And it says, at the home of Martha and Mary, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So notice, it was Martha who invited him in. Mary is the one who chooses the good thing here, but it was Martha who actually invited him in. So I don't know if because she's the one who invited him in, that she felt the pressure of getting everything right. Sometimes we build these expectations in our mind. We put all this pressure on ourselves in our minds to get everything just right, to get everything just perfect. And when that happens, when we put all that pressure on ourselves, that heaviness on ourselves to get everything right, it blocks the flow of grace. When the pressure's on us, we put the pressure on other people, it blocks the flow of grace. The pressure we're supposed to be leaning on and relying on and trusting on God and his grace flowing through us to equip us and empower us. I'm thinking here, Martha's the one who invited him and opened her home. I'm thinking she put the pressure on him. Hey, I invited him. Everything's got to be just right. Everything's just got to be just right. And she was putting that pressure on herself. It says she had a sister called Mary. And Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. So what is Mary doing? Mary is taking the time to listen. And so like we just said, if you'll do this prayer challenge process, take a couple minutes to pray and then do the other half of prayer. What is the other half of prayer? Listening. To listen and get understanding of what God's trying to tell us. Often I had to work on this myself. We are terrible listeners. We want to answer somebody before they finish speaking. We're not present when they're listening. We're thinking about other things. If we are present, we want to jump in and answer people before they're done talking. And I've seen 60, 70, 80-year-old people who are horrendous at this. They will not let you finish talking. And the book of Proverbs says that if you answer before somebody has finished speaking, you are a fool. The book of Proverbs clearly says, if you answer people before they finish speaking, you are a fool. And so we have to work on our listening skills, taking the time to get still and to listen, to clear our minds, to get more present. It requires presence to listen. So Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. And what I've learned is this, you got a lot to do. You got more on your plan than you can get done today. The greatest thing you can do is get still and listen. Because why? Because he's going to show you this is the one thing to do right now. Go get this done first. He's going to show you the order, the steps to execute all those things that you have to do. Because you might find that some of these things that you thought you had to get done didn't really need to get done today. Maybe it was your expectations in your mind that you built up and you put all this pressure on yourself. What is the one thing I got to get done right now? And then, all right, I executed that. All right, Lord, what's next? And listen again and begin to execute step by step. But Martha was distracted. This is verse 40 here. But Martha, Luke chapter 10, verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. I don't know if you've ever done this, but you've been working on something. You're working hard. You're working away. You're working hard. And you see other people who are not working as hard as you. And you get the temptation to judge them and to get mad at them. And you're working away with this angry spirit. You're supposed to be doing the things that you know to do, but you're supposed to be executing them the right way. What is the right way? With peace and joy and confidence in God. If you're working away and you're stewing on the inside about how other people aren't helping you, you're not doing it the right way. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You might be doing the right things, but you're doing them the wrong way. And you have to have both to be successful. You have to be doing the right things and doing them the right way. She was distracted. What does it mean to be distracted? She was turned away. Her thoughts and attention were divided. She was focused. She was working in a state. She was in a disordered state. We could say distracted is to be disordered. Her mind was in a disordered place. She was not doing these things in a place of worship. You could be washing the dishes and cooking dinner and worshiping God at the same time. You could be doing those things around the house. You could be doing your taxes. You can be doing running errands, and you could be doing them out of a place of worship. What's the source of it? Is it your own stress and striving and doing all these things from a bitter, stressed out, worried place? Or are you doing them from a place of, all right, I listen to God. These are the things I know to do. I'm going to take him with me and execute these things with peace and joy and turn them into an act of worship. That's the difference. The source of it. Where is it coming from? What's the motivation behind it? That's the difference. She says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Think about this. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So Martha's working with this stressed out, bitter, anxious spirit, all the pressures on her. And she thinks if she doesn't get it done, it's not going to get done. That's the mindset she has. I'm sure some of you can relate to that. If it's up to me, it's not going to be. If I don't do it, nobody's going to do it. Mary is just sitting over there. Mary chose the better thing. She chose what's going to last. Relationships are what last. All these things. You clean your house, you make dinner, you just have to do it again the very next day. Yes, those things need to be done. Yes, we need to be good stewards of those, but not at the expense of our relationships. If you're doing all of your assigned to-do lists on your task list, but it's destroying your relationships with God and with people, you're off track. You are distracted. You are being attracted. To be distracted means to be attracted to the wrong things. Your focus and our attention are on the wrong things, and we got to turn. But thankfully, we're going to take communion. Communion is the greatest table turner there is to get us more present, to get us more focused on him. And this communion today, I want it to be an activation that from this point on, if I'm ever getting too busy, I'm going to turn back and say the most important thing. I talk to people all the time and say, you know what? I just got too busy. I got too busy doing all these things. Life event happens, adversities happen, life happened. And I got too busy and my attention got on all these things and my quiet time with God slipped away. I got distracted by them. This is going to be an activation. We're going to prioritize this first, becoming a better listener, getting more present, spending time with God, getting the plan from Him. Because don't forget this as well. He can alter the way you experience your time. He can cause you to get more done than you thought you could get done and get it done faster and better than you can do it on your own. And this is actually a form of pride here for Martha. It's a form of pride of wanting to do things on their own without God helping. It's a form of pride. And this is going to be an activation from now on. I'm going to prioritize. I'm going to be attracted to. I'm going to prioritize this in my life, taking the time to get to listen, to get still, to slow down for a little bit. I got to have a brake pedal and a gas pedal. I'm going to slow down. And then when he says it's time to go, when it says it's time to go to work, I'm going to go and I'm going to execute, and I'm going to execute in the order that he tells me to execute, because he orders our steps. And changing the order of how you do something makes a big difference. If you put your underwear on after your pants, it makes a big difference. The order in which you do things is very, very important. The order in which you do things changes the results. If you will take the time to get still, to listen, to connect with him, you're going to get a better plan. And you're going to go out and you're going to execute a different way, because you're going to take his presence into everything you're doing with you. And you're going to execute with peace and joy and confidence in him. But he's going to be the source of it now, not you working and stressing and striving and grinding away at it. He's going to be the source. It's going to feel effortless. It's going to feel fun. It's going to change the way you execute everything. But we have to watch out for distraction. Yesterday, we talked about on our yearly cycle in the summer. It's the time where weeds and thorns and pests and bugs tend to come up in the gardens. And Jesus said, watch out for those things. What? The worries of life, the deceitfulness of riches, because they can choke out the seed. So we have to keep our focus. Spend that time with him. And then when you know what to do, when he says it's time to go, you go execute, trusting that he's with you. But every time we take communion, we do so with just holy awe and reverence and delight for what he's done for us. That his body was broken to make us one, where we're not distracted, we're reconciled, and we are one with him. Through his body, his one sacrifice, he makes us righteous, he makes us holy, he makes us perfect. And his death, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming his death. His death, in the case of a will or an estate plan or life insurance, any of these types of things, you have to prove somebody's death to set everything in motion. His death was the turning point for all time that set all this in motion. And when we take communion, we're bringing his death and we're proclaiming his death and making it relevant and active in our lives, that we've got this new covenant, that Jesus and God are with us, that we can spend the time to connect with him, to listen to him. And then once we understand what he wants us to do, we take action, we execute with him, helping us as we go about our day. And we stay focused on him. We keep our eyes fixed on the things above. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. And we bless it in Jesus' name. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he said this, take it. Take it. He told the disciples, take it. Receive this. He makes you righteous. He makes you holy. He makes you perfect. Because of him, you can stand in the presence of God. You can approach him with freedom and confidence that God is with you. God is for you. All wrapped up in the symbol of this cracker. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks for it. Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents, and we bless it in the name of Jesus. And he said, this is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. We've got this new covenant that God is with us, God is for us, and we have to step into this new way of living. When we take this juice today, it's a reminder. We're going to step into this new way of living. That I don't have to do this on my own anymore. I don't have to stress and strive and try to figure it all out like Martha, that worried, distressed, distracted mindset. I can take the time to get still, to listen, to follow his leading, because he's trying to woo me. He's trying to lead me to a spacious place free from all restriction, as Job chapter 36. If I will take the time to listen to him and follow his voice, he's trying to lead me out. He will show me the steps to take, and he's going to help me execute them. This new way of living, all the pressure is off me. I'm going to rely on, I'm going to trust on God, but that means I got to connect with him first and follow his leading and execute the steps in the order that he says to do them. Father, we thank you for this cup. In Jesus' name. So every time we take communion, it is like a turning point. It's like an activation. We're going to make this active and alive in our lives. But then we got to walk it out. So starting today, take a couple minutes to get still. Fix your mind on the things above. That God is with you. He is for you. He loves you. He has steadfast love for you. And his love never fails. His love will never let you down. And then we got to walk it out. Stay plugged in. Stay connected to him today, this day. Stay more present. Stay connected to him. Listen to him. Follow his leading. And then go execute the things that you know that you need to do. But connect with him first. Make that your highest priority. And then when you don't know what to do, you don't know which way to go, connect to him again. Wait for his leading. When he shows you what to do, then go. If you'll make this your pattern, wait and listen till I know what to do, then go. Execute, trusting that he's with me. And when I don't know what to do, wait, rest, listen. Keep repeating this. Wait, rest, listen. When I know what to do, execute. Then do it again. Then do it again. Then do it again. You'll be amazed at where it will lead you. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, we've got a whole series of courses and emails that will guide you through this whole process. It will guide you through spiritual growth and mindset and emotions and purpose and health and family and finances, everything we have. It'll walk you through all of the courses, and it will be very sequential, taking one step at a time, just laying the steps out in order. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us on that, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.